Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to Twitter Spaces about life and social change in Central Asia. My name is Bermet Talant. I'm a journalist from Kyrgyzstan, and this conversation is hosted by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. RFERL has more than 200 journalists from Central Asia and provides news in all five local languages, as well as Russian. It also offers in-depth coverage of the region to English-speaking audiences. Today, we're talking about Turkmenistan, where things don't seem to change. And if they do, it's not for the better. Throughout its entire post-Soviet history, the country has been ruled by eccentric dictators. It has long been at the bottom of international rankings on press freedom and civil liberties. Most of the population scrapes by, even though the state's wealth comes from gas and oil. Corruption is rife, and the government controls most aspects of life. The new president, Serdar Berdimuhamedov, took over in March from his father, Gurbanguly, who had ruled for over 15 years. And he seems determined to continue his father's repressive course. How do ordinary citizens respond and adapt to deteriorating living standards? And how do they view the growing number of restrictions? I invited two Turkmen journalists to talk to us today. Güzel Hudaybirdiyeva is a reporter with RFERL's Turkmen service. It's the only international Turkmen language media reporting from inside the country. And Ruslan Metiev is an investigative reporter for the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project and an editor of Turkmen.news, one of very few independent news sources about Turkmenistan. Before we continue, if you have a question or a comment, you can send a direct message to @RFERL or reply to a tweet pinned in the spaces. Or a third way, you can indicate that you want to speak by pressing the button in Twitter Spaces on your mobile app. Just make sure your mic is working. Ruslan, what's been happening inside Turkmenistan in the past 2 years since the start of the coronavirus pandemic?
Hello, everybody. My pleasure to be speaking here today. Well, the developments, what's been happening in the past 2 years, actually very many things. First of all, the economic state of the population has worsened significantly. As you rightly mentioned, the ordinary people have to line up in front of grocery stores to get their rations. And they have been decreasing every, I don't know, half a year, every 6 months in different regions. So the last food ration was something like one chicken leg per family per month, which is, of course, not enough for, you know, families where, for Turkmen families that are usually large. Or we're talking about, for example, half a kilogram of sugar per family per month, or the same amount of vegetable oil. So these things have emerged in the past 2 years. Also, the fact that Turkmenistan keeps its borders shut for more than 2 years already is also playing a huge negative role in the well-being of ordinary people, because in Turkmenistan, virtually every family has somebody, and often not only just one member of the family, who works overseas, and this way supports those who remain in Turkmenistan. In the past 2 years, they have nobody could leave. Those people who returned right before the pandemic to change their passports, renew their passports, or for any other reason, they could not travel back. Similarly, those who left the country in for Turkey or Northern Cyprus, another very popular destination of Turkmen labor migrants, they could not come visit their families, send money, you know, bring stuff. Mm-hmm. So on the grassroots level, the past 2 years have been, well, if not killing, then very bad.
Yeah. So Turkmenistan suspended all international flights very early in the pandemic. It was on the last day of January 2020, I believe, even before most of the countries in the world, even though the officials claimed that the country was COVID-free. And border closures, as you said, affected many people, and they particularly affected people who required medical treatment overseas. And I know that you reported a lot on that. Could you tell us what was the situation with people who needed to go abroad for treatment?
Yes, that was a big issue and still is a big issue. We indeed reported a lot about it. Some people, some cases which we raised, unfortunately, weren't a happy end story. One young guy with cancer from Turkmenistan's southern region, Mari, died because it was too late. We reported about it. The medical authorities, healthcare authorities, and migration officials started to take action. They even wanted to send a helicopter and take him to Iran for this crucial treatment, but they were too late. Mm-hmm. In some of the cases, there were happy ends. Like very recently this year, a young lady managed to leave the country for Turkey. In fact, with her entire family. She had problems with bone marrow, and thanks to reporting, she managed to leave. Mm-hmm. But all of these, even international travel for health reasons, was controlled by Turkmenistan special or extraordinary commission to fight against infectious diseases. To get on that list of allowed passengers or citizens to travel, one had to go through medical commission locally, which would sign a resolution that this particular illness is not or cannot be treated in Turkmenistan, and the commission thinks that the patient should be allowed to get treatment overseas. With that resolution, the person had to go to the migration office, get all paperwork fixed, and then finally that extraordinary commission would make a final decision. Yes.
Terrible.
And in every single case, they highlight both like this local medical commission and the extraordinary commission. They highlight that treatment overseas as well as all travel costs are on that patient or on his family or her mm-hmm. family. So the government does not even convert Turkmen manats into hard currency. As many of our listeners probably know, there are two currency rates in Turkmenistan: the official rate, which is 3.5 manats for a dollar, and the black market rate, which is 20 manats, roughly 20 manats for a dollar. So previously, such patients, they could take their manats to the bank and get dollars at the bank rate, at the official rate. Now, in these pandemic years, they were even deprived from that. So they had to go to the black market rate and spend much more manats to get dollars.
Mm-hmm. And I read that in many cases, the patients could not even choose their destination. The officials would decide where they could fly for treatment, right? And some people died waiting for permit to leave.
Yes, as I mentioned, some people died indeed. And it's only one case that we reported about. God knows how many more there were, unknown cases. But regarding particular countries, it is actually up to the family to find the clinic or the right doctors anywhere in the world, basically. It could also be India, it could also be Turkey, Iran, mm-hmm. any country in the world, even Israel and Western European countries. As long as you have the money, as long as you can prove that this clinic is ready to take you and has all the capacities and capabilities of, mm-hmm. fixing your health problem.
Okay. Is there any sign that these border restrictions might be relaxed anytime soon?
Well, these signs are already visible since the 31st of May. Turkmenistan has resumed its regular flights to several countries. Well, it's actually two countries at this very moment. So it's the United Arab Emirates, the city of Dubai, and the Russian city of Kazan. These are only the only two destinations that Turkmenistan said, okay, we are resuming regular passenger flights there. They were discussing also resuming flights to Frankfurt in Germany, but at the last moment they canceled it. And sources say that it's because of that, what is it, monkey disease? This new
yes.
thing that that is all around the world almost.
So speaking about the migration and leaving Turkmenistan, the migration out of the country was massive before the pandemic. And in 2019, RFERL's Turkmen service reported that nearly 1.9 million people left the country permanently in 10 years between 2008-2018. How difficult was it to leave Turkmenistan, let's go to work overseas or to study?
In the past, in the past 6-7 years, traveling overseas has become much more difficult than it was before. The Turkmen immigration officials could take any passenger, any person off the plane and simply send him back home, by saying that you're not allowed to travel, without giving any reason, without explaining why this person is banned from traveling. Corruption in this migration office of Turkmenistan is enormous, and in the years of pandemic, it has even increased. Now we receive reports from sources that even those Turkmen citizens who hold immigration visas to the United States, like let's say they won a green card or want to unite with their families who live already in the United States, so they sold all of their properties in Turkmenistan, houses, cars, whatever they had. You know, they left their jobs, they dropped out of schools. When they turn to the migration office and say, hey, look here, I have every reason to leave this country, nothing is holding me here anymore, the officials at the migration services demand bribes, which start from $4,000 up until $10,000, especially from people who want to leave for good to the United States, for example. And the reason they say, well, you are going to America, you know, you will earn that money back within no time. So if you want to leave now, before your visa expires, be kind to pay. And the people have to pay, because otherwise, you know, we reported last year that many green card holders could not leave this way Turkmenistan, and their visas were expired, basically. They have to start all over again to, you know, and God knows if they have luck this time.
So the food shortages, they did not start during the pandemic. They started years ago. What caused the food crisis?
The food shortage started indeed years ago, a few years before the pandemic. The main reason, as I mentioned already, is the fact that Turkmenistan has two currencies. And another reason is that it is very centralized. So the supply of staples is overseen by the government, by the trade ministry, by various departments within the trade ministry. And Turkmenistan, from the one hand, wants to maintain, you know, the image of a social country where things are subsidized, like in the Niyazov times. You know, we also had two currencies back then, but we never had shortage of food. Yes, in the beginning of the independence, like in early 1990s, we did have shortage, but that was simply because, you know, the big country collapsed like overnight, and the new Turkmen leadership simply did not know how to manage things independently without looking at the Kremlin. But within like a few years, things were fixed. Yes, Turkmenistan started to produce its own wheat. If that was not enough, Turkmenbashi was so generous to buy wheat from Kazakhstan or from Russia. Like the second half of 1990s and up until his death, basically, Turkmenistan never had problems with food supply. People knew that, they don't have to stock flour or sugar simply because they knew that tomorrow the same amount at the same price will be sold in the bazaars or in state grocery shops. This security, feeling of security, is not here anymore. Under Berdimuhamedov, like the food supply start, the shortage of food supply started somewhere in 2017-ish, 2016-ish, simply because it was so centralized, and sometimes supplies failed simply. The third reason, first I said it was the black market rate and the official rate. Second, the centralization of this entire process. And three, it's nepotism. We, with OCCRP, released the first investigation. It was about how the nephew of Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov received a major state contract to supply those basic staples. If you're an ordinary businessman in Turkmenistan, it's really hard to get that piece of pie. And we're talking about large amounts of money. It's millions of dollars. Millions of dollars in Turkmenistan are not given just to anybody. Yeah. That is the third problem. People who don't have experience or who never had experience bringing stuff to Turkmenistan, especially, things like, I don't know, vegetable oil or butter. I mean, how, even if you have all those millions, how would you quickly, think about logistics, think about bringing stuff to Turkmenistan? So it's, it's a complex of problems. It's not just, okay, we have a problem and that's the cause of that problem. No, it's a multifaceted, problem.
I would like to get back to you a little bit later, Gozel. So the new successor president has been in power for less than 3 months, and he has already imposed new restrictions on women. Could you tell us about these restrictions?
Hello to everyone. I also want to stress that Turkmen people, population of Turkmenistan, have been facing for huge challenging problems for many years, as food shortage and everything. And what people expected from new president, we didn't expect a lot, but people expected that at least for few months, people will have enough food, and they will have more or less normal conditions for life or something like this. But nothing seriously changed in Turkmenistan. In opposite, people faced new and weird restrictions and regulations. It's regarding women's appearance and behaviors. Probably you read something about this or you heard something about this, but it's difficult and complicated to explain what's going on now in Turkmenistan.
Yeah, could you tell us about
But
some of those restrictions? So women are
yeah,
basically
and
not
yeah,
allowed to wear tight clothes, right? What else?
yeah, yes, yes. So just imagine that you want to you want to use in your daily life, you just need some services which you used to enjoy in your daily life, and you go to fix your hair or to make manicure, to dye your hair, and you go, and there is no such services anymore because every facility is closed, and nobody announced about this. And nobody explained why, but you cannot do this. Also, you go to the street and police can stop you. saying that your appearance is not normal, and nobody can explain what's norm is, and that your lips are bigger than someone wants, or something like this. And people don't understand what's going on. And then they realize that all cosmetic things banned and restricted in the country, but mm-hmm. nobody explain you when it started, why it started, and what's the reason of this. And people start to realize what's going on, and then they feel that it's not okay. But anyway, they have to comply all restrictions and all demands of the officials. Otherwise, they will be fined, mm-hmm. or they will lose their working place, or they will lose their money or something like this, and even arrested. So mm-hmm. this is the conditions which ordinary people in Turkmenistan face nowadays in Turkmenistan, and then they you can do nothing with that, because no regulations, nobody will show you any restrictions written on the paper, and everything is just every restrictions mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they will just say that comes from the above, you know, and nothing else.
Yeah, it seems that Turkmenistan is in Turkmenistan, the practice of this kind of non-official bans.
Yes,
is
exactly.
Very
exactly.
Common. And, like, there are no official decrees, and people kind of learn about these new rules from people who enforce them.
Yeah, this is connecting with every piece of daily life in Turkmenistan. Even if you want to buy some bread, you have to go, and they will give you only two or three pieces, and you mm-hmm. cannot buy more, and nobody can explain why.
So the daily rations are also kind of, you find out about the changes to daily rations on food when you go to get those rations.
Everything.
Okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. everything. You cannot enjoy your freedom of movement in the country. Also, there is no official bans or regulations which restrict you to move in the country. But anyway, you cannot, because you will come to have some permission, and they will say that you cannot. And they will not explain you why. So this, I think, yeah, this is weird, but this is the reality of Turkmenistan.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to those restrictions on cosmetic procedures and clothing, and basically not allowing women to dye their hair or undergo beauty procedures like wearing eyelash extensions or lip fillers, in April this year, Turkmen women were deprived of the right to abortion, effectively. And the government restricted access to abortion from 12 weeks to just 5 weeks. And most women usually don't know that they're pregnant at such an early stage. In your conversations with women, how do they feel about all these new restrictions on their life?
I want to mention that this law, I think it was signed a couple years ago, but now they made it effective, and this is this is a very serious problem, and I think that Turkmen government probably will consider, and they will review this law. They have to, because otherwise it will open a way for criminal abortion and everything, because we had this in Soviet time, and I don't think that nowadays Turkmen government or any government can allow, and they will use this law. It's just time will show. But in Turkmen society, Turkmen government in one hand probably. It connected with the demographic crisis in Turkmenistan, as you mentioned, that millions of people left Turkmenistan during past 12 years, and also death rate is huge in Turkmenistan, And it's a demographic crisis. So probably a Turkmen government tries to solve this problem with such not effective law, because the people will try to find a way how to solve this problem.
How do women you interview for your reports, how do they react? What do they think about all these new rules?
They not welcome this new rule. But in Turkmen society, women so oppressed by society, by family, by everyone, they have a huge responsibility and few rights. So that's why they just feel that they have no choice, and this is very 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 hard situation for women. It's hard to guess. It's hard to say what they are supposed to do and that how they will resolve this problem.
Just a quick reminder that if you'd like to ask a question or if you have a comment, you can send a direct message to @RFERL or reply to a tweet pinned in the spaces. Or you can press the button in Twitter spaces on your mobile app and we'll bring you in. Ruslan and Gozel, the question, I guess, to both of you. And it is the question that many outsiders are asking, is how long can this last and what could be the last straw for people's patience?
I answered this very question yesterday at an interview with Ilya Varlamov, prominent Russian journalist who visited the Netherlands. And I said that total dictatorships, things can be so unpredictable. Today, if you watch Turkmen state media, for example, it's all calm, it's all beautiful and rosy. It can literally change tomorrow, and the triggers could be anything. It could be, those restrictions on cars of any color other than white. It could be, again, restrictions on overseas travel, anything. That is the problem of total dictatorship, even though on the surface it seems to be a stably run government and state, inside, it's far from that. Mm-hmm. It's very far from that. So the boiling point could be anything, basically. Nobody expected that in the summer of 2020, dozens of Turkmen citizens abroad, in Turkey, in Northern Cyprus, in the US, would actually march the streets and, scream anti-government, anti-president things like, Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov, we don't want you anymore. We're fed up with you. And some of those people never hid their faces. Some mm-hmm. wore face masks, yes, for security reasons or for health reasons. Some wore sunglasses and hats. But the past 2 years have shown that there are activists outside who cannot cope with these things. Some of them have become already so prominent that they openly give interviews to both Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, to Turkmen News, to other media outlets. And if they continue this way, if it continues this way, the number of supporters, the number of followers of these activists would simply continue to grow. And we see also movements inside Turkmenistan. There have been both leaflets, anti-government leaflets in Turkmenistan. When the devastating hurricane hit the country in 2020 in April, two regions out of five suffered significantly. Tens of thousands of families lost their homes because they were simply blown away by the wind. In the city of Turkmenabad, in the east of Turkmenistan, hundreds of people went out to protest. They even blocked one of the central roads in the town, and demanded for both from the central government and from the local government that they restore gas supply, electricity supply, and water supply. It was April 27th of April, I believe, when the hurricane hit. It was already very warm in the country. Yeah, and people for days, for weeks, they were left without gas supply and water supply. So this attitude of the central government, as if nothing happens. And by the way, even though there were human casualties in the aftermath of that hurricane, the government did not say a single word. Did not provide any help to those who suffered. So this attitude, this negligence, this, you know, closing eyes on very visible things might push the people into the streets. And as I said, I'll repeat once again, in such total dictatorships, you never know how it's going to end up. Today, it's all beautiful and fine, it seems. Tomorrow it can be upside down.
Gozal, do you have any thoughts?
I think Turkmen government is trying Turkmen people's tolerance just hardly, and it's difficult to guess how it can end up, but it's. I think Turkmen people, they are very tolerant. It's true, and they are waiting, and they will find a way how to survive and how to understand and how to adapt. Find a way, to adapt. But anyway, Turkmen government, it's like testing them, you know, and probably they. Don't understand that people will able to say no, and then we can see what will going on.
Oh well, let's hope this day comes soon. Thanks to our guests and listeners for joining this Twitter Spaces today, and to RFERL for hosting it. And if you have any feedback or suggestions for topics, you can DM me or RFERL. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.